Please join me in prayer. Holy God, you are with us in this time and in this place as we gather together all over the world to be in one community with you. Please bless this time, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Amen. Jonah is a prophet who does not want his job. And since we're stepping in midstream here, I'm going to give you a quick update. He receives a direct command from God to preach to the people of Nineveh, and he refuses to go. He takes off on a ship going the opposite way, gets caught in a storm at sea. His shipmates throw him overboard because they believe it will calm the storm and save their lives. A whale swallows him up and delivers him to Nineveh, the city he wanted to avoid all along. Jonah reluctantly does what God commanded him to do from the beginning: preach God's message of relationship and love, and give the people of Nineveh a chance to change. He delivers the final message of repentance and change and heads outside the city gates in order to watch the show, because he doesn't really believe deep down that God will really do it. God has promised to destroy them if they do not change. Jonah expects a Sodom and Gomorrah display of God's wrath, so he leaves the city in anticipation of fire and brimstone. God changes their mind about the destruction they said they would rain down on Nineveh if they did not repent of their ways. But the people changed and became followers of God. Plot twist. Deep down, Jonah does not want God to save Nineveh. He would prefer his attempts to rescue them to fail, because he believes their salvation is a betrayal of the spiritual and moral code he follows as a Jewish man. Dr. Margaret Odell helps us understand his feelings, because Nineveh was not just an ordinary city. It was the capital of Israel's greatest enemy at the time, Assyria. Nineveh's deliverance in Jonah's lifetime means that it will live to fight another day, so to speak. Of course, Jonah does not want God to extend mercy to Nineveh, the seat of the Assyrian Empire. If God does not destroy Nineveh, who knows what else Nineveh can do to harm Israel and to harm the nation states that surround Assyria. And Jonah was right. Assyria created the world's first known professional military 100 years later. Wars, military, and combat would never be the same, and Israel was eventually destroyed by the Assyrians. God's compassion, some might say, led to the evolution of war and military tactics. Some trouble about how we read this passage, how oversimplified we make this story, because Jonah is usually a scapegoat for the reluctance to obey God. For those of us who whine and moan about God's call on our lives, and I admit I have often read this story that way, but this reading belittles Jonah's reasonable anger and says more about our misunderstandings about the historical context of this passage rather than what we can learn. Nations like Assyria still exist today, and some could say that Nineveh is similar to our national capital, Washington, D.C., the center of military power and a symbol of global domination. The American Empire is known for its horrific violence on foreign powers, our systems of white supremacy, our greed and corruption, our destruction of the climate, women in ICE detention centers undergoing medical procedures they don't fully understand nor consent to having, laborers exploited and killed for the production of cell phones and chocolate bars and diamond rings, the living creatures whose habitats are annihilated because of our need for more fossil fuels. We are the Nineveh that a modern-day prophet would like to see destroyed. We, as a collective, are the ones that Jonah once wiped off the face of the earth. Like Nineveh, our systems leave a few to benefit, the majority to suffer, and many to go through both. The United States is worthy of God's judgment for the present day, sins that I have just listed above, and for others that probably came to mind for you while I was talking. Some of us are gladly resisting the empire. Some of us are slowly working to change it from the inside, and others are gladly building the empire and see nothing wrong with the systems currently in place in our country. But think of it. If Nineveh was destroyed, it would do great damage to the entire planet. It would be unfathomable damage, like the United States. Think of the destruction of that magnitude. It is easy to picture why God does not want that kind of annihilation. It would mean killing innocent people oppressed by the corrupt systems and damaging an entire ecosystem. That does not sound like God's justice. This is not what true mercy looks like. But if we look in the mirror of history and read the current news with discernment, we can understand Jonah's anger. We can hear his anger as relatable. How many of us have cried out in anger at God? How many of us have cried out in anger at God for the lack of justice, for the violence in our world, for the systemic oppression that our nation is responsible for? God sends Jonah to the capital of the nation that will become a military superpower and teach the world how to organize a professional military. Jonah tells God, "Isn't this what I told you would happen when I was still at home? That you would go and have compassion on them. This is why I didn't want to come. I know what you're like, God." But God does what God does. God creates an opening, an opportunity for change, for hope. God spares them because at the core, God is all merciful and compassionate. God created the universe. Why wouldn't God want to save something that God had created? A post-colonial Korean scholar, Chaesung Justin Ryu, brings the perspective of a colonized person to this text that I wanted to share with you this morning. He argues, with an overemphasis on God's love and mercy, we emphasize the importance of repentance and criticize Jonah as the personification of a narrow-minded Jew. And oversimplified readings of this passage are not good news for us. These interpretations converge on anti-Semitism and do not own the complexity of God's mercy or Jonah's anger in this passage. Rather, we can read Jonah's anger as a type of good news. It is good that Jonah wants justice for his community. It is good that Jonah does not want an empire known for its evil systems and practices to continue. His anger, like Mr. Rogers says in the song that I sang earlier, is really his. Jonah is upfront and honest with God. The good news here is that God gives Nineveh an opportunity to change, to become a different city, to become a different world power. God is so wired for relationship that God will choose mercy and opportunity over wrath and destruction. God gives Jonah an opportunity to participate in this extension of God's mercy, inviting him to share that mercy himself. The good news here is that Jonah encountered God's mercy through the shade of a broom tree while he was waiting for God to destroy Nineveh. It was a small opening in Jonah's heart, but God will take any opening within us that God can. somehow. We have not annihilated ourselves yet, and though we might be treading on that road this very moment, modern-day Jonahs are waiting and watching. While groups of people ask for forgiveness and others escalate the tension in our country, will the repentant turn this nation around? Will God's mercy, the same mercy that allowed us to survive this long without destroying ourselves, come to an end? How do we understand the character of God, and what must we do in this time and place with the one life God has given us to live? The trick here is that God could easily act without us, and yet God chooses to act with us, to use us as instruments of peace, as the prayer of St. Francis would say. So what do we need to do today to write the story differently? Will we listen to the anger of the colonized, the oppressed, the systematically disenfranchised? Will we listen to Jonah's anger? Will we embrace our own anger at injustice? Will we listen to when the time is to act, and when it is time to hold that anger back? We can repent and actually mean it. We can change in the moment like Nineveh and go back on our previous commitment to change, to govern differently, to lead differently, to use our privilege differently. But God in the book of Jonah invites us to merciful action instead. At the same time, though, Jonah's heart ignites our anger at injustice. But destruction is not the answer. The annihilation of a people and a place is not the answer. And that is where Jonah is misguided, because that is the path that will only lead to more violence and more pain. We worship a God of justice and mercy. Go and live your life with justice and mercy flowing through you. The good news is not that God spared Nineveh. The good news is that we are still living and breathing, resisting the powers of the empire as God's people. Life is worth living. The good news is that God leaves the door open to mercy every day of our lives. So go on and walk through that door like the Assyrians did in Nineveh. And don't walk backwards like they did. Go sit in the shade of that broom tree like Jonah and feel God's mercy. This precious life is one worth living. Amen.